Well, we've been talking the last few weeks about the power of made-up stories, and you know this, so I don't even need to convince you, story's a powerful thing. Stories all around us, the most powerful stories resonate with our lives, and we don't even realize how much they impact and guide and influence our lives. But stories, made-up stories aren't just powerful for our experience in life. They don't just resonate, they're not just part of our culture. They're an important part of learning, and as a matter of fact, in the rabbinic culture, in the Jewish culture, which Jesus first showed up on the scene, he used story in a powerful way, in a significant way in people's lives. And actually, in the Hebrew tradition, a made-up story was called a Haggadah. And this is the last week I'm going to make you hungry for ice cream on a Sunday morning talking about this. But Haggadah is storytelling with a point. And this is part of the reason that lots of people surrounded Jesus when he was teaching, is he told powerful stories with significant points, and he disrupted and disturbed the status quo in culture. And his stories, they always had a point. And not only did they have a point, they had a point that led to a decision. In the first week of this series, we talked about the depth of God's love. We looked at the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. It was three stories that Jesus told in a row. And the point of the story is that God celebrates lost things that are found. When people are lost to God, when people have lost their way and they come home, God celebrates and he throws a party. And the point is will you celebrate the things that God celebrates? Will you join the homecoming party? Will you join the search party to find the things that are lost to God and the people that have lost their way to God? Last week, we talked about the extent of God's forgiveness, and we looked at the story of the unforgiving servant, and we discovered that God's forgiveness goes way beyond ours, and it's so challenging. We can either be intimidated by that and try to live up to that, or we can leverage the reservoir of the depth of God's forgiveness to free ourselves from bitterness and brokenness and forgive others who've sinned against us, who've wronged us. And if you miss those weeks, they're powerful and they kind of lead to today. God, not only does God love you in an extraordinary way, more than you think he does, and not only has he forgiven you, and just he's forgiven you right where you are, regardless of where you've been, what you've done, he loves you and forgives you right where you are, but he loves you far too much to allow you to stay that way. And so today we're going to talk about the power of God's transformation and the potential for God's transformation in our lives. And we're going to look at the story of planting seed, or the parable of the sower, maybe you've heard of it. Now, before we jump into it, the connection he makes is brilliant in this story, but it's brilliant for a first century audience because Jesus he tells this story and it's about farming, which farming was central to their society and it was critical in critical to their commerce and their world. And here's the thing, if you had a farm, or if somebody gave you a farm, or you inherited a farm, here's the thing, nobody wants a farm that's not productive. The goal is to grow things. The goal is for it to bear fruit. In fact, it was necessary in their culture, this was necessary not only to survive, but it was also necessary for them to thrive in their community. The goal was not just to have a farm that provided for you. I mean, that was the bare minimum. But the goal was to produce way more fruit, to produce way more crop, to produce a bigger harvest that you could not only feed yourselves, but you could feed the community, you could bless other people, you could use it to trade, you could use your abundance for advancement. And here's the thing, this is why this is so brilliant, is because everybody wants to thrive. Everybody wants to be in a place in life where they feel like they're thriving. Human flourishing is a big buzzword these days. People want to flourish in life. And we chase and we leverage and we seek out all sorts of things to help us that specifically we think are going to help us thrive in life. But in our culture, the thing that comes to mind first when people think about thriving or human flourishing is wealth and prosperity. We think about affluence. And people, we think people that are more affluent are thriving more in life. They're happier, they're healthier, they live longer. And one of the things we know, and some of you know this from your experience, we know actually from research and a psychological perspective, it's actually not true. Neuroscience actually teaches us that's not actually how people live longer. And some of you, enough of you have tasted and realized that there's more to life and more to thriving in life than having a lot of money, having a lot of wealth. In fact, some of you, you have more than you ever thought you would have. And the truth is you're still not happy. It didn't lead to happiness. It didn't make you happy. And maybe once you accomplished or you got the right car and the right job and the right house and you know, you got all these things that you thought were going to make you happy and they didn't, you shifted your attention to something else. You needed a newer one, a faster one. You needed a different one. You looked to a different relationship, or you looked to other accomplishments to try to make you happy. And you're trying to climb a ladder. You're trying to prove something to somebody. And I ran into this quote not long ago from Alex Hormozi. As some of you know him, if you're in the business world, you may have heard of him. He had this quote, and it stunned me. He said this. He said, "You've already achieved goals you thought would make you happy. You've already achieved things you said would make you happy. You've already accomplished things. You've already accumulated things you thought would make you happy, but they didn't." And the problem in that is we're always looking, and this is what this story is going to be about. And this is a big deal to Jesus. We're always looking to external things around us. We reflexively look to external things around us to make us happy. We think it requires something outside of me that I don't yet have or I haven't yet experienced for me to get to this place where I feel like I'm thriving in life. And in reality, it's something internal. It's some internal growth and transformation that has to happen in each one of us to lead us to that place. And this was such a big deal to Jesus that in the middle of this story, he starts with something, and then in the middle of the story, he comes back to it, and it's something that's so counterintuitive. It's not what his audience was thinking. They were thinking, point us to the thing. Tell us how to accomplish it. Tell us what we need to accomplish. But Jesus, he goes to the internal, and he gathers this crowd, and oftentimes Jesus had a crowd gathering around. In this instance, he had to get in a boat and push away from the shore because there was too many people. So for a lot of people to see him, he kind of moved away from the shore so he could address the people. And he started and he said, "Listen," which he didn't often begin with just a one-word sentence, but this one-word sentence packs a punch in their Hebrew culture. It was probably speaking in Aramaic, but it meant behold or grasp or take possession of or take hold of or take ownership of. People all say all the time, they're like, "Don't miss this, don't miss this." They come to me and they go, "Don't miss this," because I guess I say that all the time. So, but I think this is Jesus going, "Look, don't miss this. If you miss everything else I say, if you ignore everything else I say, you need to consider this. Listen, take hold of this. Are you ready?" And he tells a story. He says this. He says, "A farmer went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. And the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly, but because the soil was shallow, the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much that had been planted." And then he says this. He tells this quick story, this metaphor of a spreading seed, and they're probably all wondering, like, what is this about? And he says this. He says, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand, which the first question is, what else do you do with your ears? But Jesus is obviously not talking about that. This phrase appeared over and over in Jesus' teaching, over and over in the Gospels, over 25 times in the New Testament. And essentially what he's saying is, look, if you're really open to what I'm trying to say to you, if you're really open to what I'm teaching you, if you're really open to what I want to plant in your life, you'll embrace this as reality. You'll take it to heart. You'll grasp onto it. You'll want to pursue it and understand it. And then I love this next part. This next part is so human, it's so real, and it's so encouraging. His disciples came to him and asked him, "Okay, Jesus, good story. Why do you use parables when you talk to the people? Why don't you just tell us? Just give us your point. Why are you telling stories?" It's like Jesus is going, like, "Look, Jesus. I mean, these people that are gathering around, they don't know what you're talking about. Actually, Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about. Like, what is the point of all this?" And Jesus replied, I love this. He replied, "Look, you're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not," which is curious. It's like, well, how did you decide? Is it like this certain group of people from this area, they get to understand and other people don't? Or are we special? Did you choose us? Are you unique? What is he talking about? And what are these secrets? Here's the point. There are certain things that are hidden, and oftentimes they're hidden in plain sight. And the reason Jesus is telling them that the secrets are for them and that they're going to be revealed to them is because the things in the kingdom of heaven are how true reality works. It's the truth of the way life works, the way we ought to operate, the way we were designed and created to thrive in life. These are the secrets. These are the hidden things. And oftentimes they're hidden in plain sight. And the point is, it's not like it's for some of you and not for some of you, like everybody over here and people that half of you on the internet, you get to understand, and this group of people, you're out. Sorry, today you sat on the wrong side of the auditorium. Like, that's not the point. The point is this. It's the disciples are coming to him going, "We don't understand what you're saying. Can you tell us? We want to understand." And this is Jesus. He's going, "Look, these truths, these hidden secrets about the way things really work, they're not secrets like I'm trying to keep from you, but they're for people. They're not for the people who are looking for a quick fix. And it's not for the people who are just trying to get their needs met. It's for people who are earnestly seeking. It's for those who have ears to hear." He goes on, he says, "To those who listen to my teaching." If you're listening to my teaching, if you're trying to grasp on, if you're trying to take hold of, if you're trying to take to heart, if you're trying to truly embrace for yourself, not just listen, not just learn some new knowledge, not just to get some factual information, but if you're really open to embracing this, more understanding, he says, more understanding about what you've heard will be given. And for those people, they'll have an abundance of knowledge. You'll begin to have insight into how things work, how to find your way out of broken places, how to find your way out of darkness, how to find your way out of being lost, if you're really seeking and you're really trying to understand. But for those who are not listening, I mean, they heard me, but they're not listening. Even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For some people, they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. I mean, they heard what you said, but they weren't really listening. They weren't really interested in what you were trying to instruct them to do or what God was trying to instruct you to do. If you're a parent, you've experienced this no doubt over and over and over. Several years ago when we still lived in Arizona, we lived near a mountain. And on the mountain, because of the mountain, there are lots of wild animals in the mountain. We lived near this mountain, and we lived in a golf club community. And in the evening, it wasn't that uncommon. We didn't all the time, but every once in a while, we'd see a coyote. We'd hear about them, like, attacking people's dogs and cats, and they'd eat the rabbits on the golf course and all sorts of stuff. So one night, we're coming home. We've been gone for all day with the family. We're all in the car. We're driving into our neighborhood, and as we pull in, we see three coyotes, like in the road, just like right from the around the corner from our house. And so we pull in, and all the boys get excited about seeing the coyotes, and we go past them. When we're pulling in the garage, and as soon as we pull in the garage, the doors fly open. And at the time, my oldest was in middle school, and number three, so I boy, girl, boy, boy, number three in line, he was in kindergarten, and the littlest one was still in a car seat. And so the two older boys jump out of the car, they go running into the house, and I'm like, "Where are you guys going?" And Tal's like, I want to go see the coyotes. I'm like, no, do not go out after chasing the coyotes. Like, it's not a good idea. And he takes off running, and the younger one says, "Wait for me," and they take off. And I'm like, "No, stop, don't go out." So, you know, I'm getting the littlest one out of the car, and Jen's grabbing stuff. We're going in the house, and as we go in the house, I get in the house, and the front door is wide open. They've gone in the house, out the front door. They're down the street chasing coyotes. And I'm like, I get outside, I'm like, "Hey, what are you doing? Get home, get back here." And so they start coming back, and as my oldest gets to me, I said, "Like, what were you thinking? Like, you're gonna chase coyotes? What happens if that pack of coyotes turns and starts chasing you? What are you gonna do?" He's like, "I'm gonna run." And I'm like, "Exactly. You're gonna run right past your little brother all the way to the house. And what's gonna happen to your little brother when you run past him? The coyotes are gonna attack them. They're gonna tear him apart. How would you feel then?" Wasn't my best parenting moment, I'm not gonna lie. He needed the visual though. And here's the point, like, just because you heard me doesn't mean you were listening. And I wonder if God looks down at us all the time and he goes, "I know you heard me, but you weren't listening." It's not just kids, is it? I mean, you and I, we show up here every week. You hear all sorts of things. You hear teaching. It's not just here. God's speaking all the time. If you don't know this, you don't just have to come hear him in church. Like, he's speaking. Anytime you open the Bible, anytime you get on your knees to pray, through your circumstances in life, through prayer, God's speaking all the time. And he's trying to instruct us, and he's trying to guide us. And the truth is, we can hear all of that without actually listening. And it can amount to a big pile of nothing and have zero impact in our lives. And this is what Jesus is pointing out. It's easy to think, that didn't connect with me, or I know somebody else who needs this. I do this all the time. I know it's not just you. I think, ooh, that's good. I mean, not for me. I know somebody who needs it. I'm going to send him this message. I'm going to send him this quote. I mean, you've done this before. Now, what happens next in the story is not common, which is one of the reasons we chose this parable to conclude this series, is because Jesus does something he doesn't often do. But it's because the disciples come to him and they're going, like, why are you using this parable? Could you just plainly tell us? Jesus says this. He says, now, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seeds. The master teacher, the master storyteller, is about to unpack his parable, which he didn't often do. As I've told you in the other weeks, oftentimes he told the story and he just walked off, and it disturbed people and disrupted. Today, Jesus is going to unpack for us what is the point of this whole story of the planting of the seed. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath, it represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. They don't get it. It's like the disciples, they didn't understand it first. And the evil one, what happens is the evil one comes and snatches away that seed that was planted in their heart. Now, you need to notice this. This is this farming idea about the ground. It's not about agriculture. This is about, Jesus says, the condition of your heart. This is about the posture of your heart. And one of the postures that we often have in our lives, we approach God with, is a hardened heart. And he says it's like seed that falls on a footpath. And it's like when seed gets spread on a footpath, it just kind of slides off. It can't penetrate. It lands on this hard ground, and the seed can't get into to take root to for anything to grow. And this is the point. And the birds, he said earlier, the birds come and carry it away. But here he says it's the evil one. And we've talked about this before. There is one who means you harm. There's a God who has good plans for you. But there's an adversary for the farmer. Like birds are adversaries for the farmer. You have an adversary. We have an adversary. And it's anything, he'll use anything to harden our hearts towards the truth of God so that he can just kind of wipe away or blow away the seed that God's trying to spread into our lives, and it becomes wasted. A few weeks ago, a guy came down to me right down front after the service. And he said that he used to come here sporadically. He sort of backed up to several years ago. He used to come sporadically, and he said his heart was not really open. He essentially, what he was saying is he didn't have ears to hear, to use Jesus' language. And then he went on to tell me a story about some things that had happened in recent months. And he went through a really hard season. And one of the things he said, as we were talking, he said, it softened my heart. And the first thing I thought of was, I need to go back to that church. I wasn't ready. I wasn't open. And one of the things he told me is, he's like, I never miss, no matter who's preaching, no matter what I hear, there's always something I can take away. And I feel like God's speaking to me all the time. And I'm growing. And I feel open to it. And I'm trying to embrace it. You see, here's the thing. In life, when our hearts are hard, you can either choose to humble yourself and open yourself to ideas that may seem hard to receive or truths that may not make sense to you. You can either humble yourselves or you can be humbled at some point. And that was his story. And he said that God humbled him and he became open to exploring the implications of this truth. The truth that God had been presenting him with, that had been confronting him with, it, he said it was coming from all different directions. Prior to that, his heart, it was like this footpath that the seed just was blown away or taken away by the birds, by the enemy. The seed on the rocky soil, this is the second condition. It represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. And you've experienced this before. You've heard something, you thought, ooh, that's good. I need to write that down. I need to think about that. That's awesome. Maybe it was an Instagram ad. Maybe you like this phrase on there and you're like, oh, that's fantastic. I'm gonna like that. I'm gonna share that with other people. That is so good. But because they didn't have deep roots, this truth, because it couldn't form deep roots, it didn't last long. The seed fell away as soon as they had problems or persecuted. They were persecuted for believing God's word. This condition, this second condition of the heart, it was like soil that had rocks beneath. It was this rocky soil. And what would happen is there would be seed that would be spread, and it would actually penetrate the surface. It would go down below the surface. The problem was is once it got below, it could only have roots that go so deep because there was something beneath that was blocking it from having roots that went deep. And if you don't understand agriculture or farming or have no experience with that, it's a little hard to understand. Not that I'm pretending I have a whole bunch of agriculture experience, but when I was a teenager, my dad was a pastor. There was a guy that owned a large farm that went to our church. His name was Windsor Abbott. How's that for a name? Abbott's Farm. And it started as an apple orchard, and then they expanded to all sorts of grains and all sorts of different things that they harvested on their farm. This farm grew really large. And one summer he asked if I could go help get a summer job working on his farm. And I think the conversation really went like, hey, I have a son who really needs to learn hard work. He doesn't know anything about hard work. Could you give him some hard work to do? And Windsor Abbott's like, we only do hard work on a farm. That's all we do. And so I got sent, I think, to go do hard work. And so, I mean, it was the hardest summer job I've ever had. I worked hard. But I remember one particular day I showed up at work and Mr. Abbott, he said, okay, boys, we're going to do something a little different today. We've got a new plot of land that we actually acquired. We got it for a great price. Some people think there's something wrong with the land. And as we're riding out to the land, he said, hey, today we're going to be picking stone. And I was like, thank the Lord. Finally, something easy. I mean, we're going to go pick up stones. Like, how hard can that be? Unless you know what picking stone means, which I did not. Apparently picking stone, we got out there and he goes, okay, you see all these places in the fields where the crops aren't really growing? Like there's places that it feels like it like the crop sort of came up and it just fell over. He goes, there's stone underneath that. We got to go pick that stone out of the ground. What I didn't know is it wasn't like stones like this. It was like stones like this. And we go, he's like, we got shovels and pickaxes and all sorts of stuff. And we're trying to, and all day long, we're digging and trying to dig these huge stones out of the ground. Because that's what had to happen for the crop to grow. I mean, there's something beneath the surface, Jesus is saying, in some of your lives. And it's keeping what I'm wanting to plant and grow in your life, it's keeping it from taking root so that it can really flourish and it can really thrive. There's seed, a third condition. There was seed that fell among the thorns that represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by these thorns, by the worries of this life and by the lure of wealth so that no fruit is produced. The third condition is that there's some thorns. There's things in our lives that as God's trying to spread seed, that are choking out, as he says, choking out the things that he wants to grow. I mean, maybe the seed takes root and it begins to grow, but these thorns begin to choke it out because the thorns are being fed and they're growing and they're choking out or they're crowding out what God wants to do in your life because there are other things that you're focused on. There are other things that you're putting your faith in rather than trusting in him. I don't know if anybody's a UFC fan. Do we have any UFC fans in here? Okay, a few of you. I'm going to offend the rest of you for just a second. I love combat sports. One of the things I love about the UFC, there's lots of different ways you can win. You can win by a decision. You can win by a submission. But there's two primary ways people win. They either knock somebody out or they choke somebody out. You can get knocked out or you can get choked out. And there's a big difference. When you get knocked out, you know it happens suddenly, you're out, like the fight's over. When you get choked out, it's subtle. It's not sudden, it's subtle. And what happens is somebody's airwave or their blood flow gets cut off, and eventually the referee just like lifting his arm till there's nothing going on. They're like, okay, he's out. And I'm like, they let people do that to each other. It's unbelievable. I even let my boys watch it, which is probably a little early, but it's The reason I tell you that is because this is what happens in our lives. And there's two things that Jesus says primarily choke out the work that God wants to do, this growth that God wants to create in our life. And it's worries and it's wealth. That for some of us, the worries of the world, the things that we're worried about our happiness, we're worried about what will happen if we trust God, we're worried about what will happen if we believe in Him and we do the things He says. And some of you, you've been confronted with, and you know, you don't need more information. You know how God wants you to operate, how He wants you to handle your relationships. You know how He wants you to handle your finances. You know how He wants you to handle your influence. You know, you don't need more information. But you're worried if you trust Him, if you do this. I mean, it seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem like conventional wisdom. You can't figure out how trusting God in this way is gonna work out well for you. So you worry about it. Or others of you try to use your wealth or you pursue wealth to try to get around those things, to try to overcome those things. You try to use that to circumvent the way in which God's trying to lead you in your life. And here's the thing, when you feed those things, what you feed grows and what you starve dies. And for some of us, the things we're feeding in our lives, it's choking out the growth that God wants to create in your life. He wants you to grow in ways that you can thrive in life, but it's on the inside. And some of these things require us starving other things in our lives because there are certain things in your life that need to die in order to create space for something new to grow, for something new to come from that. Something has to die in your life. There was a fourth condition. He says the seed that fell on good soil. It represents those who truly hear and understand God's word, and it produces a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much had been planted. The third condition was of a soil, a good soil, that he was able to plant something. As he spread the seed, something began to grow up in and out of that soil. And because of the conditions of the soil, and some of you know this generally in life, there's a general principle. The better the climate, the better things grow. When you have a sunny climate and you have enough rain or enough water and you have good soil, things grow. This is actually a baby lemon tree. And when we lived in Arizona, we had a lemon tree in the corner of our backyard, and it was the perfect climate. It got full sun all day, and we watered it regularly, and it had this drip water system that watered it. The guy that was there before us planted all these fruit trees in our backyard, and this lemon tree produced so many fruit, so many lemons, we couldn't give them away. I mean, lemon concentrate. They would make lemonade. They'd have a lemonade stand all the time. We had this literal lemonade stand that sat on the corner. We would have lemon pound cake and lemon pie. And I mean, I couldn't give away. I'd take baskets of lemons to the office, and we would still pick ones up off the ground and throw them away. And here's the thing: when you have the right conditions in the right climate, particularly usually related to the equator, oftentimes, you have the right sun and rain and good soil. Things grow, and God's planting seed, and He's wanting to grow things in your life, and with the right conditions, things grow bigger and faster, and they produce more during more months of the year, and that's why so much in those regions is exported from those regions, because the harvest is way more than what they need. It produces, as he says, 30, 60, or 100 times, and this is the point. Jesus is going, listen, I'm all the time. I'm trying to spread my seed. I'm trying to spread my truth. I'm inundating you with you in your life. And you know this. People keep talking to you about the same things. You have a conscience that keeps nagging you in different ways. And God's going, I'm trying to spread and plant seed in your life because God is the farmer. And this life-guiding, life-giving truth, when it transforms us, when it's planted in good soil, it yields a fruit that's far more than for just us. It's far more than just the person it's sown into. It benefits everybody around you. And here's the thing. Most of us have benefited from somebody like this. Somebody in your life, when you were in a difficult season, you went to somebody, and because of what they invested in you, you were blessed, you were encouraged. And most of the time, that was from the overflow of what was happening in their life. They were in a place where they were thriving and they were flourishing and they had more to offer. Here's the point. Jesus is trying to make this point, and you can take it or leave it. It's up to you. It's easy to think, I need a different style of teaching. It's easy to think, I need people to present me with truth in a different way. God needs to make it clearer to me. I need a better devotional. I need seven different ways for him to confirm it. But you know, you've heard it over and over and over. The point is this, is the problem is not the seed. It's not the absence of truth. It's not the absence of good truth into our lives, of right thinking and right believing. It's not the absence of that. And the problem is not the sower, to be sure. God is the farmer. He's sowing his seed all the time. The reason many of us miss experiencing the transformational power of God in our lives is not because God lacks intention and desire for us to experience more in our lives. It's because we don't have ears to hear. It's because of the posture of our heart. Here's the truth. You have influence over the posture of your heart. Will you take responsibility for the soil of your life where God wants to build up new growth? Here's a question. What is the posture of your heart toward the truth? Whenever you're confronted with something that feels hard, that feels counterintuitive, that feels like, I wouldn't have written it that way, or I wouldn't have come up with that, or you can't be serious, you really want me to do that. When you come to that place and you're confronted with truth, what's the posture of your heart? Is your heart hard towards what you know is right, what you know is wrong, what you know the direction you need to go in? Is the soil of your life shallow? Is there something beneath the surface you know you need to deal with? Are there other things in your life that are crowding out what God wants to do in your life? Or is the soil rich? Ripe, ready for God to grow something new in you, to produce something new in you. Because that's what he wants. If you find yourself in a place today where you feel like you're closed off to something that God wants to do in your life, or something he's been saying to you, maybe you've heard it over and over and over and you've been resisting. If your heart's kind of hardened, you should ask yourself, am I really open? The master farmer, he wants to grow you. He wants to produce something in you and through you. He wants you to be productive. He wants you to experience meaning and purpose, a thriving life. He wants you to flourish. Are you open to what he wants to plant and grow in your life? Come on. Are you really open? And if not, why not? What is it about that truth? What is it about God that you resist him? What is it about what he's wanting to do that you're having a hard time embracing? Or maybe if you're feeling like there's something that you keep hearing over and over, you get excited about it, but it's not taking root and it's not changing you. I mean, maybe there's something that lies beneath the surface in your life. Some of you know this. There's something that you've been running from. There's something you haven't dealt with. There's something that's just beneath, and it's enough beneath the surface that nobody else can see it. And you know it's there. But maybe it's a hurt or a pain in your past, and you just want to ignore it. You don't want to deal with it. Maybe what God's saying to you today is, hey, that thing that's beneath, I want to help you. I'll be with you. It'll be hard, but let's dig it up together. It's hard work. I want to excavate that out of your life because I can't do and produce and lead you towards the thriving, growing transformation I want to in your life if we don't dig that thing up. Some of you, there's things in your life that you've focused on that are crowding out, they're choking out what God wants to do. And you need to ask yourself, what am I feeding, really? What am I really feeding in my life? Am I feeding my worries? Am I feeding my appetites? Because worries and wealth, those things will distract you. They'll crowd out, they'll choke out what God wants to do in your life. Are there things that you need to starve so they die? to create space for God to plant and grow something brand new in your life. Those represent things you're placing your faith in. When we place our faith in worries, we worry about our circumstances, about whether we'll be happy, we'll be okay, whether we can do this anymore. When it comes to placing our faith in our wealth, we place it in stuff, and but both of these represent external things. And God's going, I'm trying to do something on the inside of you, and if you'll stop looking outside of you and you'll look inside you, I want you to feed the things, the truth. I want you to water and feed the truth that I'm placing in you and pursue that and understand it and embrace it and starve the other things so they die so I can produce something in you. Some of you are today, and you're thinking, I'm not in any of those places. I think I have the rich soil. Here's how you know. You want to know how, if you have the rich soil, the good soil for God to plant and grow and produce new things for you, you need to ask yourself, who am I blessing? Because it's not just for you. God's planting stuff in you so that you can produce an abundance, so that people around you, this wasn't meant for just you. You were meant for more than just you. And true meaning and purpose is experienced when it benefits other people, when our lives, what's produced in our lives, there's excess to generously offer to other people. And that's how you know. That's how you know if you're in that place. I've been open with you before about a season in our life and in our marriage. When Jen and I, in our relationship, we stopped growing. And truthfully, when things aren't growing, they're dying. And I told you it was an incredibly hard season. And we both had things, I'll just tell you. We both had things below the surface in our lives that needed to be dug up. Things that were restricting the depth of our relationship with each other. And not just each other, our relationship with God. And we weren't flourishing. We weren't thriving. And it wasn't because we weren't excited about some of these things. It was because there were things that needed to be dug up in our lives. And both of us, we had been feeding things. We had been feeding false narratives in our lives about each other and about our circumstances. And they weren't rooted in the truth. They were rooted in unrealities, in partial truths, in the whispers of the enemy. And we would feed those things, and they were choking out the health, anything that was healthy in our relationship, anything that God wanted to do to grow us. And we definitely weren't blessing each other in our relationship. Here's the thing. True transformation is what hangs in the balance in our lives. Transforming the broken things is what God wants to do, making them whole. Transforming hurting things and healing them, that's what God does. Taking things that are done in darkness and bringing them into the light and creating new life from them. We sing about that. We sing this in songs, and this is how the scripture talks about it. He wants to create beauty from ashes. That's what God does. But he does it when the conditions are right in our heart. And some of you, the reason you keep wrestling with the same things over and over, the reason you have that same challenge over and over in your finances, the reason you have that same challenge over and over in your friendships, in your marriage, in your career, the reason it's not because you need more information. It's not because you need to learn more. It's not because you need a better teacher. This is Jesus's point. He said it's the posture of your heart. And you owe it to yourself to know the true posture of your heart and where it leads to if you don't carefully monitor the condition of your heart. And not just monitor it, but deal with it. If you find yourself in a place, a hard heart, I hope today you'll just ask God, God, help me. Help me to be open to you. Till up the soil of my heart. Make it soft to your truth so that it can penetrate me. If you got something deep inside, my prayer for you today is that you would have courage. You'd have the courage to no longer close your eyes to that because it's covered under the surface, but that you would realize and you would ask God, help me. Help me to dig that up. You'd find somebody to walk through that with you. If you're feeding things, some of you are feeding things that you know you're feeding worries or you're feeding other pursuits in life that are choking out and crowding out what God wants to do in your life. And you need to starve those things so they die. My prayer is that you'd have the courage to do that. My prayer is that each one of you would find yourself in a place where God tills up the soil so it's ripe for him to do all that he wants to do in and through your life. He has good plans for you. He does. Receive that today. His plans are so much better for you than you ever imagined. He's a good, good father who has good plans for his children. He's just asking you to be open and allow him to do what only he can do. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that for everyone within the sound of my voice today. I pray that you would help us locate ourselves in your story. Are we the path? Is it the rocky soil? Is it the thorns that we've allowed to grow and feeding in our lives? Or do you want to do something new in our lives through this good soil, or you want to bless others around us, not just us, but others around us, so we can flourish, we can thrive in life? God, I pray you'd help us clearly to see. We'd know exactly what you're trying to say to us today. And we respond, inviting you, seeking to have, with our ears to hear, to understand what it is that you're trying to teach us and where you're trying to lead us and guide us, and that we would put our faith in you, even when it doesn't make sense, so that you could lead us to the thriving life you have for us. And I pray it in Jesus' name.